The Hubble Space Telescope was launched in 1990. It had problems. Then in 1993, the imaging flaw was corrected, and it has been working pretty darn flawlessly. Wouldn't you say, Bob?
Yes, it's actually been an amazing, it's actually been the most amazing instrument ever put into space by the human race. It's produced more science than anything else. In fact, a comparison of all the scientific papers that have been published based on NASA science, the Hubble Space Telescope, I think, has almost 40% of all those papers, just that instrument.
That is amazing.
An amazing achievement.
September 2008, they're supposed to go up and service it again. Are they going to put gyroscopes in there? Is that still on the books?
The servicing mission, which actually they've been fluctuating, the shuttle manifest, it's been fluctuating between August and September. I keep changing that line in my book. I finally gave up. First it was September, then it was August, then it was September. Right now it's listed as August. I've given up.
Just say sometime in 2008.
Their plan is to replace the gyros, give the telescope new batteries. Those are the two maintenance things that have to happen because the telescope won't work. The telescope right now, by the way, is not functioning flawlessly. In fact, in many ways, it's kind of crippled. If people might not realize this, but there have been very, very few, relatively few, spectacular Hubble releases in the last 2 years. They happen once in a while, but often the data was some stuff that was obtained several years ago. Because the gyros are in problem, they're only running on a two gyro mode. Now, they have six, the Hubble's supposed to have six gyros. It needs three to get a perfect lock in three dimensions. They have managed to because they are working on only three reliable gyros right now and a fourth that's questionable, they've shut down the two working X2 of the working gyros, so they're only working on two. And they have figured out, they've developed algorithms and software to improve the Hubble's pointing capability with only two gyros, that it only fuzzes the images slightly. And it doesn't affect that's one thing. They only have two gyros. The other thing is that the telescope right now has no spectrograph. This spectrograph failed around 3 years ago, and they're hoping to repair that in the servicing mix.
Why don't they just put a new one in?
Well, they are going to put a new one in.
Okay.
That's the other thing. They're going to add another one. They've already built a new spectrograph and a new camera. They're sitting on the ground until the servicing mission.
Right.
But what's up there right now, Hubble up there right now had two cameras. It had the wide field planetary camera that was installed in 1993 to repair Hubble. And it also has the advanced cameras for surveys that was put up in 2002. Well, last year, the advanced camera for surveys failed. It can't take pictures right now, and it's not come back to life. So the only camera that's in Hubble right now is the 1993 with PIC-2 widefield camera. And that, the trouble is that the CCDs that are in that camera, they deteriorate with time. So it can't take the kind of pictures it used to. So Hubble really can't take great pictures right now. People don't realize it. With the two-gyro mode and the lack of cameras, it can't take pictures. Any release that you see right now is stuff that was obtained a year or two before these problems
started. What's the new evolution, Robert, of these kinds of telescopes?
Well, that's an interesting question. What's going to happen next is a big question mark. I talk a lot about that in my book because I think that
which comes out when?
The book is called The Universe in a Mirror, the saga of the Hubble Space Telescope and the visionaries who built it. And it's mostly a story about the people behind Hubble and all the dirt, you could say, why things got screwed up in the 80s and 90s. They had to repair it, how they saved it, and then the importance of Hubble scientifically and culturally to the human race. I talk about that as well.
Now your book comes out when, though?
This comes out in April of 2008.
Okay. Now, was Edwin Hubble responsible for Hubble, or did they just simply name it after him because he was a great astronomer?
Long dead. They named it in honor of him because he is unquestioned.
I mean, he didn't have it in plans or anything because the original conception was back in 1946 for this thing.
Yes. Lyman Spitzer, who many people call the father of the Hubble Space Telescope, first proposed this idea shortly after World War II in a in the first research project of the of Project RAND. Actually, he wrote a paper proposing a orbiting space telescope. But that was after Hubble was Edwin Hubble was dead. This was named after Edwin Hubble because he's unquestionably would be considered the greatest American astronomer of all time.
Okay.
And I think it's a fitting choice for this particular telescope. What's going to happen down the road in astronomy is it's a difficult situation because there are no plans in the work to build a replacement for Hubble, an optical telescope, optical slash ultraviolet telescope in space. None. When Hubble goes, we won't have an optical telescope.
This is the end. Okay.
Yeah. The next generation telescope, which is now called the James Webb Telescope, they have a tendency to try to sell that as the replacement to Hubble. It is an infrared telescope. It's a general observatory, but it's an infrared telescope. It's designed primarily to do deep space cosmology. Now, it can do a lot of other research, but it'll take pictures. You'll see the pictures. They'll look like pictures, but it'll be in the infrared. It won't be in optical wavelengths. There are no plans to do optical. Ground-based telescopes are getting bigger and bigger. This is related to the technology of Hubble and the enthusiasm of astronomy that Hubble has generated. There's a lot of funding to build big telescopes. There's even talk of building telescopes with mirrors that are 30 meters across. It's almost a football field.
How are they going to get those up there?
These telescopes I'm talking about now are ground-based telescopes.
Okay.
And they're talking about liquid mirrors. You know, if you spin something like Mercury, it'll form a curved shape that you can actually use. So there's actually talk of building liquid mirrors. You can make them very big. The technology on telescopes on the ground is getting quite spectacular. It still has to fight the atmosphere. And though they have now computer technology to adjust for the fuzziness of the atmosphere, it can't compete with a telescope above the atmosphere. So what's going to happen down the road is a little bit of a question mark. If NASA's vision to go to the moon does follow through, George, they're going to have the Ares 1 and Ares 5 rockets. Now, the Ares 5 rocket will be the most powerful rocket ever launched. It'll be more powerful than the Saturn V by about 35%. It'll be able to put 130 tons in orbit.
My gosh. But it won't be as big as the Saturn was.
Yes, it's going to be. In terms of power, though, it's unquestionably going to be more powerful.
Right. In terms of size.
Now, with that much tonnage capability, there's going to almost certainly be surplus space on every launch for scientific instruments. And NASA has been approaching astronomers and Earth scientists and a whole range of scientists that might want to put something in orbit to say, hey, guys, start thinking about it. We're going to have room to put material up in orbit. Even if we're going to the moon, we'll have space.